So today we're going to talk about our faith at work. Our faith at work. That's what this trip, the Fusion Youth Group, getting ready to go down to Big Creek Missions and do some different mission work. That's what this is about. So if you have your Bibles, and we'd like to turn with me to James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14. Many of you may be familiar with this, faith and deeds. Faith at work. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. The first thing I think that we want to see out of this is that we need to recognize the needs of others. Recognize the needs of others. Whenever we are in the mode, and I know myself, especially when I'm in kind of like that pastor mode and the ministry mode, and you know you have this checklist in your head, or even if you're just kind of going through life, and I know Amy, it confuses me to try to look at her calendar because I'm like, how can you do all that and still take care of me? So you need to quit some stuff. No. Full-time job taking care of me. But the reality is that we get so busy sometimes that we forget to pause and look. But we need to recognize the needs of others. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he had a pretty important mission. He had a very specific mission. But throughout his ministry, in the middle of teaching, in the middle of going from place to place, repeatedly through the New Testament, you hear the phrase, he looked on the people with compassion because they had great need. They looked at them like sheep without a shepherd, and he knew that they needed a leader. The most famous of this is, of course, his feeding of the 5,000. They had come to hear him, but they were so many miles away from town, there was no place for them to go. It's not like in, you know, modern times, we're like, okay, we're going to take a lunch break. Everybody run down. There's a McDonald's down the road, maybe a Hardee's, you know, whatever you're into. You know, there was none of that. And he said he looked out on the people with compassion because they were hungry. And if we are going to follow the example of Christ, then we should also have those eyes. Eyes to see and recognize when others need help. Continuing in verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, but I have deeds. In other words, you may have heard it this way. If you've ever asked somebody, say, hey, if you were to die today and go to heaven, why would you go? You might get an answer like this. Well, I'm a pretty good person. I've done some good things. I mean, I helped this lady with her groceries to her car yesterday. I occasionally give money to a charity. In other words, if I could just imagine this giant scale of good and bad in my life, I've done some pretty good things, not too many bad things. But James continues to write, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe it and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? The second thing I want us to see is that action expresses our true belief. Action expresses our true belief. When we look at the original language, and that word believe or faith, in both of those situations, that is a word that denotes action. Now, you can believe something. Luke is a kind of a, which is typical of little boys, he likes to climb on things. So he'll climb like in a tree or up on a wall or sometimes on top of my car. just climbs. And he'll occasionally like, Daddy, and I'll turn. And what will he do? He'll jump. Now, that is faith. That is belief. That's him saying, I trust you, Dad. I believe in you. Too many times in our world today, we say that we believe things, but we don't really follow through with them. Point in fact, I believe in physical fitness. I'm not sure why you guys are laughing, but I believe in healthy eating. Let's go to McDonald's. I believe in saving money. Let's go on a trip. We have all these beliefs in our life. I mean, if you convince somebody, you tell them, oh, yeah, yeah, I believe that. Absolutely. But belief without action isn't belief. Belief without action is just empty words. I believe in the bond between my wife and I. And I know that it's true. I believe in my faith in Jesus Christ and that he will be there. I shared last week when we talk about some of the promises of God, the things that he cannot do. When he says he will not abandon you, I believe that. When all the world looks like it's not going to work out, when all the things are stacked against you, and despite that, to say, I believe. And you get up out of bed that morning, and you take that first step, and you go to work, and you go on with your day, even though everything inside of you says you shouldn't. That's believing. Trusting in Jesus Christ that he will take care of you. Faith without works is dead. Verse 20, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Now, let me just kind of expound on that. Most of us are familiar with that story, but if you're not familiar with the story, Abraham is considered the father of the nation of Israel because God made a covenant with him to be that nation. And Abraham had no children until he was well into his old age, and he finally had one child by the name of Isaac. And God appeared to him and said, here's what I want you to do. That one thing that I gave you, that you cherish and covet so much, I want you to sacrifice it. Now, it sounds barbaric, and it's horrible to think that God would want Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. But two major points out of that. Number one, he didn't let him do that. At the last second, when God knew for sure that his faith was expressed in his actions, it's easy to say, yeah, God, I trust you. But it wasn't until he acted on that trust and acted on that faith that God said, you've proved it. And he allowed a ram to be caught in the nearby bush, and he was the sacrifice. He was the replacement. The second thing I want you to know out of that is because there was a very specific place that God told him to go, and it was on a hill outside of a town which eventually became the town of Jerusalem. And nearly 1,500 years later, there was a son who was sacrificed on that hill. God's son. And in this time, there was no sacrifice replacement. It had to be him. So if you were a Jewish reader of this book, you would have been familiar with this story. And what James is saying here is that if you want evidence that it has to be faith and works, look at Abraham. Verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Verse 26, the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Now, if you're not familiar with the story of Rahab, the Israelites, so after Abraham has Isaac, Isaac has Jacob, Jacob has Joseph. Joseph brings the Israelites into Egypt. They go into a kind of a sojourn down there. 400 years go by. The Egyptians had enslaved the Israelites. They pray to God. God sends Moses, and Moses leads them out. And they go for 40 years walking around the desert because they're disobedient. And then they go into the promised land, and there was a city that they were going to take. And Rahab was a prostitute. And even in the wicked city, she was not a very popular person. Maybe she was popular, but that's, she was not a moral person, not a righteous person. But because she had faith, when the Israelites showed up and they said, we were told by God that we were going to take this land, she believed them. And she helped them. And God counted that as righteousness. Now, Jason, you've been preaching in a couple weeks now about sacrifice and how Jesus Christ was the one and only sacrifice, and he paid it all. And I don't understand this. Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, tells us that we who are saved, we were saved for his good works. See, James and Paul and Jesus, they all had the same message, and it's this. If you believe something, you're going to do something. And you do something because you believe it. And you don't get credit for what you do until you believe. And there's a lot of people that are going to spend their life coming into a building like this. And maybe serving on a committee or two, or teaching a Sunday school class, or sitting here, and they're faithful tithers. But they no more believe about this than I believe in little green men from Mars. It's a place to go and a thing to do. And they're going to get to heaven. And Matthew 25, Jesus told a story. He said, there's going to be people who show up in heaven, and he's going to say, but I did these things in your name. And Jesus says, I knew you not. And then there's other people who are going to say, he's going to welcome and say, you are blessed because you fed me and you clothed me and you did things for me. And they're like, when? I never saw you. He said, when you saw this and you did that for the least of these, back to the very first point, when you recognize the needs of others, you're recognizing the needs of Christ. When you do these things, whether it's helping somebody with clothes or food, shelter, love, a listening ear, and you do that in the love and in the name of Jesus Christ, that's eternal. There are things that are built up and tore down and will never last. Do you know the Sears building is no longer called the Sears building? If you would have told my grandmother that Sears and Roebuck would not have the financial success they'd had for the first 100 years, they would never believe it. Doesn't matter what strong empire it is. Believe it or not, one day there will be no more Walmarts. It may be a long time, but because you know why? There's going to be another thing that comes along that we don't even know about. We have the chance to do things in this world that have everlasting impact. Recognizing the needs of others, doing action to meet those needs, not because we're trying to get saved, but because we are saved. Not because we're trying to get God's favor, but because we already have God's favor.